Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart. Fred Williams is on assignment, but here in his seat is a scientist on the board of the Creation Research Society, an expert in microscopy, electron microscope use, and it's Mark Armitage. Mark, welcome to Real Science Friday.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be here.
I am so excited about the cutting edge of work that you're doing on your iDino project. Not only do you have the best name for a dinosaur project,
thank you,
but you and Kevin Anderson are onto something. So let's explain it to the audience. Some people listening will not even know that the mainstream science journals have all reported soft tissue from dinosaurs.
Yes, they have.
Could you tell us about that and then your work with CRS?
Well, of course, we were very excited to see the reports in Science and many of the other journals on soft tissues and dinosaur bone, because it fits with the creation model. We would expect these bones to not be very old and to possibly yield soft tissues. So, of course, we were as excited as the regular scientific community was when this hit the presses, as it were. But we also saw a sort of a recalcitrance on the part of many of the scientists to not promote this highly. And so
they called it a dangerous discovery in their headlines.
That's correct.
It's probably the greatest biopaleontology discovery ever, the greatest paleontological discovery in the last decade, and most people in the general public don't even know about it.
Most people don't, and that's why we came up with the idea of iDino, which is an initiative to discover intact natural osteo tissue in dinosaur bones. Meaning bone tissue.
An osteocyte would be a bone cell.
Yes, that's a cell that produces bone, deconstructs bone, mm-hmm. and also maintains bone. Mm. So we were very excited to begin the initiative because we believe that this information does need to get out to the general populace. Mm-hmm. Most people are unaware that there seems to be a tremendous amount of soft tissue in dinosaur bones everywhere.
Every time somebody turns around, like Harvard felt bad that North Carolina State is publishing all this dinosaur soft tissue, so they went out, they got a dinosaur bone, and lo and behold, they sequenced the proteins. Universities in Europe, America, around the world are looking at their inventory of dinosaur fossils and they're breaking them open and they're saying, wow, look at that. We got some soft tissue here.
Yeah, even in museum specimens that are very old, for example, my first work in this area was back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when I received from Joe Taylor in Texas a piece of a T-Rex femur that had been in a museum drawer for 100 years. And so I cracked it open, fractured it open, it was compact bone, and found what appeared to be mummified collagen fibers in the bone, and we published that in the Creation Research Society
That
quarterly.
Was before Mary Schweitzer's big paper in Science in 2007.
That's correct.
So you beat Mary to the punch.
Well, and even she had a paper in 2005, and I believe one in 2000, but
that's true. It really hit big in 2007.
Yes.
So I was excited that, was it Technical Journal back then? That you guys...
It was the Creation Research Society Quarterly, which has been in publication over 60 years.
Yeah, that's super. So like you said, fossils that have been sitting around, the Field Museum in Chicago, this is a world-class museum. They have, I think, the world's largest T-Rex on display. They look in it and they find soft tissue, even in Sue. They call her Sue.
Yes, it would not surprise me to fracture open many of these bones that are sitting in museum drawers and to find desiccated or mummified soft tissues in the remains of the bone.
Original biological material that has not mineralized, it's
correct.
Not stone, but then Mary in 2007 found Schweitzer, we call her Mary, like we're all friends, Mary found not only original biological tissue, but it was still soft, it was pliable, it would bounce back, it was transparent.
Yeah, you can see, you can watch the videos on YouTube of her stretching these vessels, they were actually blood vessels that were recovered from the intact section of a long bone, a femur, T-Rex femur, that was pulled out of the Hell's Creek Formation. And so that's where we went. We went to the Hell's Creek Formation, about a month ago, and we dug on two or three different sites, but in the same formation that they dug in.
We being you and Dr. Anderson?
Dr. Kevin Anderson and myself, Otis Klein, who maintains a ranch and a dinosaur museum there.
Yeah, we interviewed Otis just about 6 weeks ago. Tremendous guy. Beautiful
wonderful
museum.
Guy. Wonderful museum.
Gorgeous museum. Really a state-of-the-art museum for in the middle of nowhere, Montana, in Glendive, Montana.
It is. You're going through the Badlands, which really are Badlands, I got to tell you. They were hot and dry and very uncomfortable, but this beautiful museum is right off the freeway there.
It's a jewel.
It is.
In the middle of nowhere.
It is.
Yeah, he's done a tremendous job. So you, Kevin, Otis Klein, were excavating.
Yes, we were excavating. We found many specimens of T-Rex, teeth, ribs, Triceratops teeth and ribs, hadrosaur ribs, extinct turtle. That was on one site.
Any evidence of any marine life like clams or
anything
that you saw?
These were marine turtles. We didn't see any clams.
They were marine turtles?
Yes.
Because here, the Dinosaur National Monument in Utah/bordering up to Colorado, we've gone a number of times. They could call it Clam National Monument because they got more clams than they have dinosaurs. And almost everywhere we've looked at reports where there are dinosaurs that are articulated, they find marine creatures.
Well, it's
with
not
them.
Surprising because we're thinking now that these layers were actually deposited under large volumes of water, maybe 500 feet, 1,000 feet of water with these turbidity currents carrying massive amounts of mud and soil. Really carrying everything in its path and being buried under these large volumes of water.
Rapidly. And so these fossils end up in sandstone in Montana for the most part.
Yes.
It's not like they're frozen at near absolute zero.
No.
They're just in Montana.
And they're in the heat and the freezing cold winters. They're subject to a lot of exposure. In fact, I'm going to talk about our second find on the second day in another dig. But these are exposed. And so one would expect these soft tissues to not be there, these pliable tissues which actually yield images of fine structure. And I can show you pictures of the osteocytes.
Well, Mary Schweitzer's pictures, which have been all over the world in the science journals, are good. Your photos
very good.
Are great.
Well, thank you.
They're great. And Mark, let's give a little promo for tonight because folks listening who are in Colorado, if you're within driving distance, 3-4 hours of Denver, come on out tonight at 7 o'clock because what an honor for the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship to have the board members of CRS, the world's first creation outreach, CRS, Young Earth Creation Ministry. You guys have 700 advanced degreed scientists among your 1,700 worldwide members, and your board meeting is in Denver, your annual meeting, so four of you guys will be speaking tonight. You will be there, Mark Armitage, Danny Faulkner, Gene Leitner, and Mike Ord. In fact, also Don DeYoung, five of you. Are you going to show these photos?
I am.
Tonight?
I'm going to not only show the photos of the bone, and let me talk about the particular bone that we're very excited about. On the second day, we dug in a larger ranch that was deeper into the Hell's Creek formation. We recovered a 40-inch long, about 8 to 9 inches in diameter, Triceratops horn.
Whoa. And that's one of the coolest looking dinosaurs.
It really is. It's they were massive. They were something on the order of 9 feet high, maybe 30 feet long. We're talking maybe 8 to 10 tons.
And they have like two horns sticking out.
They actually have three. They have one that comes out of the snout, and then
they
have
nose.
Two. Yes.
Okay. Right.
Triceratops actually means three-horned face.
Oh, I should have got that right. And I don't know what you'd call the bone that goes back from behind their skull.
Yeah, I'm having an old man moment and not remembering it right now, but it's a large bone that rises up over the neck.
Like a collarbone that's just enormous.
Yes.
So it's this fierce-looking dinosaur with a big mouth and big jaw, big nostrils.
But it was an herbivore. It was a grazer.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the animals that God made in the paradise would not have been predators from the beginning. They wouldn't have been tearing one another apart.
No, not according to Scripture. Everything was very good. All things were made together at the beginning. That's what Exodus 20:11 tells us.
Wow.
And Jesus believed that too, that
everything
was made at the beginning.
Yeah, and he said that God made...
Well, he made them male and female
at the beginning,
of creation.
Very explicit.
Yes,
in
Matthew and in Mark, he said that two times.
So when you just gave the dimensions of this horn of a Triceratops...
Yes.
That's just the horn.
Well, it's,
this is
it's
a big
horn,
dinosaur.
Oh, it's ginormous. These things were. Now, the one thing that we noticed in the dig is that nothing was articulated, which means none of the bones were approximated close to each other the way they would have been found in a skeleton.
It was broken apart.
Yeah, very furiously broken apart. Mm. We were finding T-Rex, Hadrosaur, extinct turtle, and Triceratops all jumbled together.
Marine turtle, you said.
Yes, marine turtle.
Which is typical of so many bone graveyards of dinosaurs.
And particularly the Hell's Creek Formation. In fact, a famous paleontologist has said that it's impossible to walk anywhere in the Hell's Creek Formation and not see Triceratops sticking out of the ground everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you guys got a big chunk.
Yes.
Take it back to the laboratory.
Yes.
Let's let the audience know. When I said you got better photos than Mary Schweitzer, this is your specialty.
Yes.
Right? Could we tell the audience where you work and what you teach other scientists to do?
Yes. I am a trained electron and light microscopist. I'm currently employed at California State University Northridge in Northridge, California.
Wow, you guys had a terrible earthquake.
We did. It flattened the campus. And so we have the most beautiful campus in the Cal State system right now.
Everything
got rebuilt.
Unintended consequences.
Yes, but I'm at the top of a beautiful multi-million-dollar science building in the biology department.
Wow.
I run an electron microscope lab with 3 electron microscopes, plenty of light microscopes, and also a brand new $500,000 confocal microscope. And so I train the faculty and I train the graduate students at the university.
Could we add a little plug here for your own business? Because you sell microscopes.
I do.
And I'd like to know what kind of target audience, from scientists to active creationists to homeschool families, who do you sell microscopes to?
Well, predominantly I sell to physicians, clinical laboratories, hospitals, large educational institutions. So benchtop light microscopes for routine microscopy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been tough. It's been a hard economy. I think everyone can say that. And
well, we have doctors, chiropractors, veterinarians who tune into the show. We interview them now and then.
Mm-hmm.
So how would they find you?
800-WOW-MICRO.
WOW-MICRO. Wow Micro.
Yes.
800-WOW-MICRO.
Yes.
That sounds great.
We provide superior service. In fact, I always tack on an extra 2 years to the warranty of the instruments that we sell, and we provide sales and service. So we work hard to earn our customer base and keep people satisfied.
Mark, you sell microscopes. Jim Burr is a local telescope designer. He's been in the same seat you're in, young Earth creationist, believes in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He not only sells telescopes, he's a designer and a manufacturer.
Oh, wow.
And what a compliment he received from the co-discoverer of, remember the comet that crashed into Jupiter some years back?
Yes.
Shoemaker, Levy 9.
Yes.
Well, David Levy said of Jim Burr's telescopes that they have the greatest improvement to the concept of the telescope since Galileo.
Wow.
He sells binocular telescopes.
Very nice.
And all the major observatories from the Navy, all the big universities, all over the world are customers of Jim Burr. He's a young Earth creationist, brilliant
awesome.
Guy.
Well, I can't claim that sort of clientele base, but I do have an optical patent, but not in microscopy.
Oh, mm-hmm. Pretty neat. So 1-800-WOW-MICRO to get a good microscope.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now, let's get back to where we were at. So you guys go to Montana, Hell Creek, to get your own bone, and you bring it back to the lab, and lo and behold, you're finding original biological material.
Yes. The bone that is found inside the horn is different from the bone that Mary Schweitzer found in the T-Rex femur. It is very compact bone. It's very dense. But because it's a horn, it doesn't have the same vessels, the large vessels, it seems, that the femur contains.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, this was highly infiltrated with soil matrix, so it had a lot of mud infiltrated into it. But nevertheless, we found entire sheets of soft material that we fixed in a fixative and then peeled away from the bone. There are several ways to process tissue for microscopy. The one that yielded the best results for me was using a cryostat. A cryostat is a microtome that's used in a hospital pathology laboratory to do frozen sections of patients.
You freeze it so you could cut it so thinly?
Yes. We section down to 9 microns.
So a micron, that's 1/1000th of a meter.
Yes, 10 to the minus 6 meters. A human hair is about 100 microns across.
Whoa.
And so we section to 9 microns.
I can't even,
very, very thin.
I can't even comprehend that.
Well, it is incomprehensible, and so you have to be very careful when you're processing these tissues.
Yeah.
But when you thin section sheets of tissue that thin, you can see the ultrastructure or the fine structure very clearly. And so in my micrographs, you can see many osteocytes laying in their perfect orientation embedded in this tissue that we thin sectioned.
So, Mark, as a board member of Creation Research Society and part of the iDino team, because you teach other scientists at Cal State how to use an electron microscope,
yes,
they really have, you guys have, am I wrong to say, one of the world's more proficient experts at this technology for doing this specific job.
Well, not only that, CRS is very unique. We are the only creation organization in the world to run and maintain a working laboratory. Near Prescott, Arizona, in Chino Valley, Arizona, we have a beautiful laboratory that's been in place for some 12 years now.
Do you guys have an electron microscope there?
Yes, we have a fully working electron and light microscopy laboratory installed at the CRS Van Andel Creation Research Center near Prescott, Arizona.
Wow.
So we can do scanning electron microscopy, transmission electron microscopy, and we can do light microscopy right at the lab.
We've been to the observatory there at Prescott. That's where I think they found Pluto, I think, if I recall that correctly.
I think you're right.
So you guys got a functioning lab right
there. We do, and here's what's very important. We have spent the money, we've taken the time, we've done the work to put together a state-of-the-art microscopy laboratory in a creationist lab, which is unique in the whole world. Now, we've done this on a shoestring budget.
Mm.
We have raised some money for the iDino project,
mm-hmm.
and our donors have been very gracious and helpful. But we really need to raise several million dollars to continue with this project and to build a laboratory that is state-of-the-art in terms of its image processing on a world stage.
Mm.
So we want to publish these results rather quickly in a secular journal if we can.
So folks who come out tonight will see really the cutting edge, and they'll see these photos that have not yet been publicly displayed.
These have not
been
displayed.
Published.
Not published.
This is a historic opportunity tonight for those in Denver at 7 o'clock at Wadsworth and 21st. This is the Bethlehem Lutheran Chapel, and Fred Williams, my co-host, will be there. Russ Holmes, Leslie Hanks of Colorado Right to Life, will be getting pro-life signatures to get on the ballot. So what an opportunity, but you guys need funds to really make this work in a significant way.
We're up against laboratories that have access to NIH funds, NSF funds. Millions and millions of dollars a year are handled by our colleagues on the evolutionary side who are doing this work. We believe we've already done better work right out of the box on much less funding. And so we know that there are some donors out there who can provide some very large donations. We need your support.
There are, and perhaps they might be able to get a tour of the laboratory.
Absolutely.
So if there's somebody out there, you could directly contact Creation Research Society. But if you're a friend of Real Science Friday, contact us, and we'll put you directly in touch with Mark or one of the scientists involved with the project. It's needed. It is greatly needed. In fact, CRS, you guys do a lot of the original research,
yes.
But then a lot of our other creation ministries, like Real Science Friday, we get to promote what you guys have discovered,
yes.
And you need the support to keep pressing forward.
We do. We're thrilled that organizations such as yours take the scientific data that we've accumulated and publish that in a usable format for the general populace. That's very important. That's something that we don't have the resources to do. But as scientists, we can do the basic research and provide you with the tools to go out and witness to the
world. But only if you're supported.
Yes, we need support.
And for somebody who can't step up to the plate with a $10,000 or $100,000 donation, they can become a member of CRS. They can subscribe to the publications.
Yes.
That, of course, all helps, but only a voting member if they have an advanced science degree.
Yes. But we'd like to see donors in the $500,000 range. Mm. We're really looking for some serious donors to put us on a world stage where we can compete. We have the resources, we have the know-how. We've shown by the initial results of this project that there's probably soft tissue in hundreds of different dinosaurs buried all over the world.
And dinosaur layer animals like Mosasaur, in this little bone in marine deposits.
Yes.
You know, they used to say, well, you need a big bone in sandstone in Montana.
Right.
But now they're saying, no, you know what? We find it everywhere.
We think it's prevalent.
It's prevalent. So think about a century of lost opportunity for looking systematically for biological tissue in dinosaur and other fossils, lost because the science industry has said, well, these things cannot have soft tissue.
Yes.
Because they're tens and hundreds of millions of years old.
Well, it's kind of like the carbon-14 and diamond that we found. The reason the evolutionists didn't go looking for it is because they knew it wasn't there.
Right. And it turns out it's everywhere.
Yes.
It's not supposed to be.
That's right.
And most graduates of our public school system, they think carbon-14 stays around for millions of years.
Right.
It all decays within thousands of years.
Very rapidly.
It can't last a million years.
No.
And when you find it in amber and coal and dinosaur fossils, and like you said, diamond, you find it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
This is powerful evidence.
Very powerful.
That these things are young.
Yes.
So you have a dinosaur bone. It has left-handed amino acids, which is another topic. It has carbon-14. And it has blood vessels and blood cells and hemoglobin and collagen.
This and maybe even DNA.
Maybe even DNA. Now, so far, there have been no reports.
Correct.
I don't think of dinosaur DNA. Harvard sequenced protein from
yes.
dinosaur.
Yes.
Many universities are getting on that bandwagon.
Yes.
But no DNA yet.
Not yet. But
DNA is hard to find.
It is. And it breaks down so rapidly. That's why these things can't be more than maybe 10,000 years at the absolute outside.
Well, Mark, when you said that in Montana, you have these cycles, the climate, you
yes.
have the summer-winter
yes.
cycles, biological molecules are very complex.
Yes.
And you have the slightest change in temperature. And, Adam, I'm not a physicist, but don't molecules, isn't there basic molecular vibrations that break apart complex molecules?
Well, what we find, and this is one thing that was really hammered home in my electron microscope training, when we wanted to get the best ultrastructure, the best images of the fine structure at very, very high magnification, we had to process our tissues immediately upon death. We had to take living tissue from an organism and process it immediately in fixatives to prevent that from breaking down.
Because
it breaks down very rapidly.
Right. And so it is startling that we have these. Even though they're only thousands of years old,
mm-hmm.
it's still somewhat
It's
startling.
Amazing that it's there at all.
Right. Remember that study back in 2008, Public Library of Science, on the dinosaur tissue is biofilm, bacterial biofilm? Well, it turns out now that that was a good try. Maybe this is just all bacteria, but there's so much evidence because of the sequencing of proteins that it's not biofilm. But something later was theorized, and this has been published now, that perhaps the early onset of bacteria covering the pores of these fossil bones, perhaps that actually acted in a way to help preserve the biological material inside.
Yeah, I think scientists are finding that bacteria are required for rapid fossilization.
Mm.
The whole area of fossilization, the science of it is called taphonomy. And if you look in some of the papers that are published in taphonomy, you see that biofilms are probably required to allow this rapid preservation of fine structure.
And it's the opposite of what we were told, because we were told for decades, if bacteria got at it, it'd all be destroyed.
Yes.
But it turns out that bacteria sort of hermeneutically seals whatever's inside the bone.
Well, that's when bone is fossilized or permineralized. In this case, with soft tissues, in fact, I believe the sheets that we peeled off the bone from the horn that we found in the Hell's Creek Formation is a biofilm. However, embedded in that biofilm are sections of this soft dinosaur tissue that are yet intact and show the osteocytes.
What a brilliant point, because better than Mary Schweitzer. Now, Mary Schweitzer got her T-Rex femur from Jack Horner up at Montana State University, and they broke it open because it was too heavy to lift with a helicopter. And he's the guy that I offered $23,000 to carbon-14 date their soft tissue dinosaur.
By the way, we are doing that test also.
You are.
Yes.
Thank you for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
Yes.
And these things all cost money.
They cost money.
But when Mary Schweitzer dissolved her bone, she's got osteocytes, these blood cells, but they're all scattered and random, floating in solution, so to speak. Yours are in a matrix, yes, as they would appear in situ.
Yes, exactly the way. Yes, it is real sheets of tissue with the osteocytes. There's basically three types of osteocytes or bone cells. Osteoblasts build bone mineral. Osteoclasts decompose it, break it down. And then osteocytes are cells that maintain the bone.
Wow.
And so this sheet of soft material that we peeled away from the bone has embedded in it a series, many, many osteocytes, which are perfectly conformed. Yes, and they have all these connections to each other. They have these pseudopodia.
So bacteria, they don't mimic osteocytes.
No, they can't possibly.
Mark, these different types of bone cells that we're finding in dinosaurs, this is a powerful argument to the world, not only scientists, but to reconsider the credibility of the Bible, that God made us in the recent past, along with the earth and all the animals in it. That's why at Real Science Friday, we are so determined to get the word out, yes, about these finds.
Yes, we live in a scientific age. We are dealing with more and more sophisticated people who don't know the Lord Jesus, and they need sophisticated answers. And this find is yet another example in a long string of examples which point to a young earth, certainly a global flood that buried everything in its path, and a recent creation. And so the words of the Bible are once again held to be true. You can believe Scripture and not question any part of it, which is really the first sin in the Bible. Did God really say?
So when I see, say, the Discovery Institute out in Seattle, and they are intelligent design, but they don't believe the earth is young, they don't promote a biblical,
yes,
worldview, so that's where they miss out.
Yes.
And they get thousands of people download their podcast, so do we.
Yes.
Only we don't have millions of dollars funding,
no,
us. We are a Christian pastor and a local Christian radio show.
Right.
But people around the world are finding this evidence in dinosaur bones, and they're saying, whoa, what is it that Moses wrote about that global flood,
yes,
burying all this just a few thousand years ago?
It makes sense. And I also have to say, you guys have done a brilliant job of putting together a wonderful, comprehensive page of a lot, or if not all, of the soft tissue dinosaur research that's out there. All you have to do is Google dinosaur soft tissue, and your page comes up right on the first nine.
It's sort of amazing,
it's
right?
Fabulous.
Mark, with the Smithsonian and,
yes,
Discover Magazine and Nature and Science, and there it is.
So this little David is fighting Goliath, and we need everybody's help.
Well, it is an honor to talk with
Thank
the
you
scientist,
so much.
You, Mark Armitage, from the Creation Research Society.
Thank you.
We are so thrilled that this evening at 7 o'clock, Mark will be at the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, along with four other of the scientists at CRS. CRS is the world's first, as far as we know, the world's first young earth creation ministry, and they're doing the heavy lifting. They're doing the research. They need support financially. And so if you come on out tonight, of course you could buy one of the resources, give a check, but also call us or call CRS directly to help fund the laboratory they've got at Prescott, Arizona. God bless you. See you tonight, 7 o'clock. Hi, this is Bob Enyart of Real Science Friday. Did you know that you can get all of our shows on CDs? Yes, we have Real Science Friday for 2010, 2011. In fact, you could go back to 2006. Just go to our website, realsciencefriday.com, click on the store, or call us, 800-8-ENYART, and have you seen the best creation DVD yet on the workings of the cell? It's called Programming of Life by Dr. Don Johnson. You'll love it.